All right. Well, good morning. I'm Esther Parrish. I'm with the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and I'm here to talk about some work that we've been doing since about 2008 for the U.S. Department of Energy's Bioenergy Technologies Office, or BETO, and this work is led by Virginia Dale with our Center for Bioenergy Sustainability, known as CBEES. So I'm just going to give you an overview of some of the things that have been going on with this program. Won't really have time to get into too much depth on anything, but I'd be happy to answer your questions about specific projects after this talk. So in addition to Virginia Dale, who leads this work, my co-authors include Rebecca Ephraimson, who works out of Asheville, and she's been doing a lot of work looking at best management practices and kind of the state of best management practices and how we can integrate bioenergy into those, and also Keith Klein, who does a lot of work internationally. So we've been tasked by the Department of Energy's BETO to come up with definitions for sustainability. There's a lot of talk about how bioenergy production needs to be done sustainably, but there's no clear consensus on exactly what that means. So we've been tasked with defining exactly what the environmental and socioeconomic costs and benefits of bioenergy systems might be, and figuring out how to measure those and communicate those so that we can implement good policies going forward. So of course, as was just stated, we're going to have to figure out how to come up with a way to measure and integrate multiple ecosystem benefits as we move forward, and there are always going to be conflicting viewpoints. For instance, this schematic or figure is just showing how, you know, a logger might be thinking about the profit that he could be making by cutting down a particular tree, but of course someone else is going to be concerned about the biodiversity, the birds that might live in that tree, and so on. So we have some big challenges moving forward as to how to integrate diverse viewpoints, diverse goals. So one of our very first projects, this was actually back in 2007 through internally funded work, was to try to come up with a watershed design to producing bioenergy. In this case, we were looking at switchgrass plantings and how you might place them across a watershed to achieve better water quality parameters at the outlet of the watershed, in other words, lower nitrogen, phosphorus, and sediment concentrations, while at the same time creating a profit across the watershed overall. So we ran placements of crops iteratively across a particular watershed, the Lower Little Tennessee watershed, and we ran an optimization framework based on some hydrologic model outputs and some from SWAT, the Soil Water Assessment Tool, and some economic model outputs from Polysys, and we looked at how the effects would cascade down the subbasins and came up with six different scenarios, which are summarized in this graph. And so in the first three scenarios, we were just looking at what would happen if you tried to maximize particular water quality benefits, you know, get the lowest amount of nitrogen concentration possible, et cetera. You can see that on these, the purple blue bar, the profit didn't do quite so well. And when you just looked at maximizing profit, you didn't do so well on the water quality parameters. But within this theoretical framework, if you tried to optimize all of these parameters at once, you actually did pretty well on all of them. So we've been working with the University of Tennessee through a USDA-funded AFRICAP project to collect water quality data from this watershed from actual switchgrass plantings to try to validate those results. And this framework that I'm presenting in this figure has been accepted by the Department of Energy in their multi-year program plan, and it's this idea that we must first select a particular set of indicators to define sustainability, use those to help establish baselines and targets within particular bioenergy production systems, thinking about particular feedstocks, particular locations, collect data over time to look at the trajectory of those systems so we can start to identify trends and trade-offs, and through all of this, develop and test best management practices. So we see this as an iterative process where we're going to continually be inserting new knowledge into this decision framework, and we're working from particular case studies, such as one I'll give you a brief overview of, to more general guidance that would apply to multiple locations and feedstocks. So, you know, our first task with BETO was to try to define a set of sustainability indicators that could be used across different bioenergy production systems, and we were concerned that those indicators be useful not just for policymakers but also for producers, that they would actually be economically feasible to measure, and that they could be measured in consistent ways so that we would be able to collect them from multiple projects. So I won't go over this detailed slide, but you know there are multiple efforts going on to define sustainability indicators. We, particularly Keith Klein and Virginia Dale, interacted with a lot of these efforts internationally and decided to come up with a smaller set of indicators. It's still pretty large. There are 35 specific sustainability indicators, but they're in 12 different categories shown here. So we have the environmental indicators in six categories in this left flower, and the six categories of socioeconomic indicators in the right flower, and these are in two separate publications in ecological indicators. And we've also done a follow-on publication to talk about how the measurements and the interpretations are context-specific. That's in environmental management. So just to give you an overview of these indicators, these are the six environmental sustainability categories. You can see we have four related to soil quality, quite a few related to water quality and quantity, one related to greenhouse gases, a couple to biodiversity, several to air quality, and one to productivity. Then we also have the six categories of socioeconomic indicators related to social well-being. That includes things like employment, household income, work days lost due to injury, food security, energy security, external trade, profitability, resource conservation, where we're looking at the avoided use of gasoline and fossil fuels, and some social acceptability parameters, including risk of catastrophe, public opinion, etc. And I should state there have been workshops to talk through some of these indicators. As you can imagine, there are a lot of different viewpoints about these. So as I mentioned before, we need to think about these indicators within particular contexts. They're going to be different for different feedstocks, you know, whether they're perennials or annuals, grasses, trees, etc. And as we can look at these indicators, we need to think about how they apply to different points of the supply chain as well. And so this past year, my big task was to look at one particular case study, which so that we could see how many of these indicators could actually be collected and how they could be integrated together. So after surveying collaborators across the country, across the world, as to what they were doing in their dedicated bioenergy systems, what types of data they were collecting, we actually found out that the experiment going on right in our own backyard in East Tennessee probably had the most types of data available at this time. And this was a small switchgrass to ethanol experiment centered in Vonore, Tennessee, where there was a 250 million gallon per year demonstration scale biorefinery put in place. And at the same time, this is starting back in 2008, there were contracts awarded to farmers living within about with their farms within about an hour's drive of that facility. So altogether, at the peak of the experiment, there were about 5,000 acres, 5,200 acres of switchgrass put in place to supply this biorefinery. And this was done with about $70.5 million of state funding through the Tennessee Biofuels Initiative. So over this past year, I've been working with Burton English at University of Tennessee. He's an agroeconomist. Sam Jackson, who was a professor at UT but is now the vice president of Genera Energy that runs some of these logistics for the processing plant, and Don Tyler, who's a soil scientist at the Agricultural Research Station in West Tennessee, to try to think about how many of these indicators we could collect from this experiment and how we might be able to integrate these indicators, given that they're collected across a variety of spatial and temporal scales. You know, are there any that seem to be more important than others? Are there any we've missed, et cetera? So in doing this case study, we chose to look at just the first couple of steps of the supply chain, the feedstock production and the feedstock logistics, so everything up into the biorefinery gate. And this diagram overall is showing how we feel our 12 categories of sustainability indicators apply to the different steps of the supply chain. So the green indicators are showing the environmental indicators, and the blue boxes are showing the socioeconomic indicators. So even within these first two steps of the supply chain, you can see that we needed to look at all 12 categories of indicators, and in fact, all 35 individual indicators. So to do this, we looked at empirical data that had been collected for the experiment, a lot of soil sampling, some water quality sampling, a lot of social surveys, both before the plantings went in place, during the experiment, and afterward. We also had to look at some model runs that we had to generate specifically for this. We looked at literature, and I relied a lot on the expert opinion of the people, my co-authors in particular. So Through all of this, we were able to assign qualitative ratings to nearly all 35 of the sustainability indicators, and we had at least something representing all 12 of the categories. And we aggregated these qualitative ratings within this multi-attribute decision support system, which we built using free DEXI software developed in Slovenia. And so, you know, a lot of thought had to go into exactly how we would aggregate these indicators. We could have no more than three at each level for this particular software. And so first, you know, we had to break the socioeconomic into three economic and three sustainability categories and so on to think about how these would roll up. When we were thinking about the sustainability of this particular case study, we decided the best way to do that would be to kind of bracket it with extremes that would otherwise be occurring within these same 5,000 acres over the same five-year period. So we looked at no-till switchgrass compared to tilled corn. There actually is some tilled corn production going on in this area, and we saw that as kind of the most extreme case in terms of fertilizer inputs, et cetera. And we compare that to unmanaged pasture, which is actually common in this area as well. There's just so much land available for the cows that there are pastures that do not take any fertilizer, etc. So these are the assumptions that went into our analysis. And I don't have time to show you each level of the roll-up, but this is just the overall endpoint where we were looking at the three major pillars, the environmental, economic, and social sustainability. And through our analysis, we found that in this particular location, through this experiment, there was high social sustainability, high environmental sustainability, and not any adverse economic impacts compared to our alternatives. So we're working on getting this published, submitting it hopefully this week, actually. And we're trying to find ways to visualize these indicators collectively, not just giving a single score, because we feel like that doesn't give enough information to decision makers. But this DEXI software, for instance, puts out these flower radial type diagrams. And so these two top ones are showing our results for the switchgrass. So you have the environmental indicator categories on the left and the socioeconomic indicator categories on the right. And the further out you go in this hexagon, the better the score, where the center point means that there's no sustainability. So you can see, for instance, in the environmental categories for the no-till switchgrass, all of them looked good, with the exception of the greenhouse gases. And that's because you have such a large number of trips, truck trips that it takes to get this bulky material to the biorefinery. And then over here in the socioeconomic categories, it did pretty well, except there's absolutely no external trade right now. So that's zero, et cetera. So we're thinking of ways to visualize this. You could roll up these 12 categories to just look at the three pillars overall, environmental, social, and economic sustainability. So in this case, if you're at the point of the triangle, then you're saying it's the most sustainable, and the further into the triangle you go, the least sustainable it is. So as I mentioned, for this case study, we saw positive environmental and social sustainability trajectories and moderate economic sustainability for this area, where corn is not very sustainable economically. So we feel like this case study shows that there is potential to integrate qualitative ratings of all 35 indicators when you can't have quantitative values for all of them. And of course, as we go on, we'd like to have these indicators measured with more and more quantitative data and measured over time. But that kind of information can be added to this type of multi-attribute decision support system. And then as we acquire information about particular feedstocks and particular locations, we're working to try to think of good best management practices. And again, this will be an iterative process with the stakeholders. And another big area that we're working on is this concept of landscape design, where you can, once you have information about these indicators, how can you use that information to place particular bioenergy systems within a landscape? And the one that we're working on currently is the wood pellet industry, looking at the wood pellet industry in the southeast, which has just grown so much over the past few years. So there are a lot of people to thank, in particular Kristen Johnson, our veto sponsor, a lot of folks at the University of Tennessee, working through the Southeastern Partnership for Integrated Biomass Supply Systems, IBIS, and be happy to answer questions. Thank you.
plenty of time for questions.
Thank you. That's great. How applicable? So you mentioned that the law of collecting these indicators needs to be combined to case studies and social or spatially relevant areas. Am I correct in thinking that? Okay. So given that there's not many places that are collecting the breadth of the data that's happening around the North, how transferable is data from other regions if you're going to put this into a modeling context? Can you make the match and what are the risks?
That's a good question. She's asking about the scale of collecting these indicators and how we're going to do it in areas where all these types of information aren't available. That's something we're exploring. We're doing our kind of second case study, which is a much larger area of the whole Southeast, basically, to look at the wood pellet industry. So that's something we're struggling with right now, definitely. And we've also, as I mentioned, we had surveyed a lot of people with dedicated bioenergy systems going into place or already ongoing to see if they might be willing to collect as many of these indicators as possible. So we're hoping over the next few years to follow up with them. And some of them have said they were willing to try. So. Thank you.